Good morning. It is Kale and Company live here on WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. Great to have you with us, and we are presented by Northeast Delta Dental with individual and family plans designed to fit your lifestyle. Learn more and find your plan at DeltaDentalCoversMe.com. Always great to have AJ Kierstead in the studio, familiar voice to WKXL listeners for many, many years here at the station, and now has gone on to other things, and but he's still doing the New England Take. Good morning, EJ. AJ.
Morning. Thanks for having me. Yeah, NewEnglandTake.com. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. Please follow. It's New England Take, one word, and we're very active on there.
Absolutely. So you're putting stuff out every week, right?
Every single week. I've always been very clear. I'm not a journalist, but I'm more a pundit and analyst on things going on in the world. In New Hampshire, I do interviews sometimes with lawmakers and various other people in the state.
And lawbreakers sometimes.
Lawbreakers occasionally. Yeah. We try and hide those ones a little more.
AJ is not an official journalist, but he plays one on the internet.
Now. Exactly. Exactly. We're a member of the New Hampshire Press Association, so we're trying to build this outlet up. So please like and subscribe to us, and I'll release this interview on our YouTube channel also.
All right, so I will ask you, because you know these things. You have your finger on the pulse of exactly what is going on here in the state of New Hampshire. What's the biggest story in New Hampshire right now?
I mean, right now, it seems like it's just still bananas over at the State House. There's so many things. I think education is really the big thing that's blowing up right now at the state level. There was over at NewHampshireBulletin.com, they actually had in their newsletter this morning about a whole bunch of bills ranging from freedom of speech to attempt to get rid of the banned concepts or divisive concepts laws, book removal policies, parental notification. It's all over the place, and people are upset on both sides of the aisle.
Well, that's usually the case, right?
Oh, yeah.
No matter what. And last Thursday, the House narrowly approved a bill that would eliminate any exceptions to the state's voter ID law and require documentary proof of citizenship to vote. But it was approved by a very narrow margin, 189 to 185, along party lines, as most bills are. I can't understand how anyone would have a beef about documentation when it comes to voting. I mean, you got to have it.
I have not heard a good argument against it. All I hear are these. It's infantilization of communities in the state that are lower income or minority is always the case. These populations are not going to be able to effectively vote. They're having their rights stripped away. It's like, and every time I've seen so many man on the street interviews where they speak to individuals that are of the left, asking past that first question, why is it you think this shouldn't happen? And so, like, it's hilarious seeing especially in inner city videos on this, like. It's like, yeah, I got an idea. What are you talking about? Just show my license. Like, if you're going to buy alcohol, yeah. If you're going to drive, like, you live in New Hampshire. Basically, everyone needs a license in order to function in this state. There's no public transit. They all have a driver's license.
Yeah, you know, exactly. And, it should be the same for voting. No question about it. No questions asked. And show your identification when you go in to vote. I just think it's pretty basic. I think, as a current candidate for president thinks, that it should be one day voting, paper ballots, and I'm sure you would still have a degree of corruption in some places, It would cut down on it, I think, considerably. Or the chance that, electronics could be interfered with by other countries. Mm-hmm. There's always that possibility that, they could be hacked. The voting machines could be hacked.
Or various technological issues,
sure,
like we saw with the Iowa caucuses a couple years ago.
Who won that, by the way? We still don't know.
Still don't know. It's so easy for us to rely on all sorts of services and such to make it happen when it's it's obvious that, in general, the current election system works, in my opinion. There is no widespread fraud, and any changes you make to it, you're just introducing more and more variables that can cause problems. Yep. But we also, on the other hand, got to mention the total screw-up by Trump when it came to the last election, saying, don't vote by mail at all, no matter what, because of not trusting the system, or people are going to steal, or it's unethical. You got to play the game. If you don't play the game accordingly, you're just he lost. I guarantee that the last election, because he spoke so vehemently against mail-in ballots. As I disagree with him, I think they're terrible. We should have absentee ballots. People should vote on election day, like we've done for generations. But we also, on the other hand, if your state has it,
no.
Vote. Whatever. Just do it. I mean, your vote's going to, if you're nervous that your vote's not going to actually go where it's supposed to be, then bring it yourself to City Hall like you would have done anyways to vote. It's like there's no difference. You're just doing ahead of time.
Yeah. But in states that have that option, yeah, you've got to go along with it.
Yeah.
But I just speaking for myself, nobody else would like to see all of that abolished. Now, I understand absentee balloting. For our service members overseas and that sort of thing, and for, you know, some of the elderly who can't get out. But it should be extremely restricted, I think, the absentee balloting.
It's too easy to be abused. I mean, there's no way around it. We saw a bunch of cases. And again, this is not widespread, but there are enough anecdotal cases in that election in these bigger blue states where we saw issues of ballot harvesting done in unethical ways. Ballot harvesting, in my opinion, is totally unethical from the get-go, let alone that's like the next level issue when it comes to the mail-in voting. I think that's ultimately the real issue when it comes to mail-in voting is the ballot harvesting, where people are collecting votes for alleged family members that voted, and it's all anecdotal. We don't have any real stats. I think it's impossible to honestly really get those stats. Dinesh D'Souza had some bonkers documentary that he put out a while ago on it, and basically everyone that was honest on the right went, yeah, this is the most anecdotal and crazy thing they've seen in a while, as unfortunate as it is, because I was hoping to really have some numbers, but we don't really have any.
Yeah, not really. And isn't it strange? I mean, changing topics here. Mm-hmm. You know, the Bidens did all they could to diss the New Hampshire primary by not having Joe on the ballot. For $1,000, he could have been on the ballot. And instead, he has to pay millions to advertise for people to vote him in on the New Hampshire primary ballot. I mean, how ridiculous can you get? I mean, it's just absurd. I know that he was, you know, encouraged by the DNC not to participate in the New Hampshire primary, but he's the president of the United States. Can he make his own decisions?
No.
I see him here last week in New Hampshire in Goffstown at an undisclosed location in Goffstown. And he said, gee, I don't know if I can answer these questions. I might get in trouble.
Yeah.
And he's the president of the United States.
He has no brain capacity left. It is the downfall from a psychological just aging issue. It's tremendous. He is obviously flailing. He can't answer questions on the fly. His staff cart him around, and Shane Gillis, the comedian, has the best summarization of Biden on the stage. He's a Roomba. He goes to where he's going to go. He gets stuck behind the podium. He gives some sort of speech or for half of it, and then he wanders around bumping against things and tripping over things until his staff picks him up and brings him where he needs to go.
And then, you know, you hear the pundits on the left-leaning network news saying what a tremendous State of the Union address he gave. How great it was.
It's just angry man yelling into the ether.
Right.
They drug this guy up so he's able to get on stage in some moderately coherent way, and he bumbles his way through it. He's just yelling and stammering over himself. And I'm not going along with any of that nonsense. Oh, it's his speech impediment. He hasn't had speech impediment for decades, and suddenly it comes up now. Doesn't that reinforce our point that this guy is degrading in front of us?
Oh, my goodness. And then he abuses Lincoln Riley's name. Lincoln Riley.
Disgusting.
Yeah, it really is. And that's what the family's reaction to it was, as well. A.J. Kierstead is here from the New England Take. And A.J. has a new survey that's going to be revealed. Actually, it's going to be revealed right after this break. AJ is going to talk about a survey that's in the works, and it's a good one, folks. And if you would like to participate, you can give us a call, 603-224-1450, 603-224-1450. AJ Kierstead in the house, always plenty of excitement when that happens, right here on WKXL, nhtalkradio.com. We are presented by Northeast Delta Dental, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. Kale and Company live here on WKXL, nhtalkradio.com. Always great to have A.J. Kierstead, a very familiar voice to a longtime WKXL listeners, in the studio with us. Moved on now to the New Hampshire Department of Insurance. Does an outstanding job there under the leadership of D.J. Betancourt. And, well, A.J., first of all, we never get a chance really to chat about this on the air, but you're enjoying the insurance department.
I love it. Yeah. I've been wanting to focus on communications and PR work, and it's a great opportunity for me to kind of give help consumer protection in the state when it comes into insurance, as well as kind of make sure we have a solid insurance marketplace, because everyone has insurance. It costs a lot of money. I get to go out there and say, okay, this is why it costs a lot of money, and the reason why you still probably want to get it, because guess what? When that car accident happens, you don't want to pay for that new door or front end out of pocket.
That is absolutely true, and I gave the example last week when we were talking about this. I've paid for car insurance for years, and most times I never use it, but my windshield failed inspection because it had three very small cracks, and I don't even remember them happening. It must have been like something that fell off trees or whatever, but I don't remember them happening. Nonetheless, I had to get my windshield replaced before my old car would pass inspection, and I called my insurance company, and the very next day, they showed up. I mean, not the insurance company, but a glass company showed up, replaced the windshield in less than an hour, and we were good to go. So, I mean, that's one of the ways in which, your insurance company can help out. There are so many, and, you know, so many people are dealing with illnesses and so on that are covered very well by insurance. So it is very important. People who think they can get by without it, and maybe they have for a number of years, but ultimately, you're going to need it.
Yeah,
you're
going to
need it at some point. All right, A.J. Kierstead is here, and he has developed, and I haven't, heard this. It's going to be new to me as well, but you have a survey out there of how people get their news. Is that correct? Is that the general idea?
That's correct. So over at the NewEnglandTake.com and YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, New England Take, critiquing the media and the impact it has on population has been a huge deal. And I call out the left and right. I've called out everyone from Matt Walsh all the way to CNN. Like, I don't care whether you're in the independent media, whether you're an in-state media or in the national level, it matters how you read the news and where you get your news. So my goal with this is I called it values in the media. So I want to figure out the connection between where you get your news and your values, and figure out, is it A plus B equals C, or is it A plus 23 equals purple? Like, do these things connect, and how?
All right. So tell us, about the survey, some of the questions you're going to be asking, and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I want to quiz you, Ken.
All right.
So we're going to do it.
This
we're
is
doing
the honest,
it live.
This is the honest program, folks.
Exactly. All right. So, Ken, start off with, I think this is the most important part, just at the onset for everyone. Where do you get your news from? Is it newspapers, cable news, local TV? I see you got the Conquer Monitor in front of you.
Like,
where's the primary places you get your news from?
Well, I would say one of them is the Concord Monitor. In fact, I do subscribe and I do read it. I don't always agree, but nonetheless, I feel it's important to stay on top of the local scene with the Concord Monitor, whether it be the newspaper or the online edition of the Monitor. And I also read, believe it or not, the Boston Globe, which leans about the same way as the Concord Monitor does. But I have to admit, I read the Globe mostly for sports.
Yeah. And that's the advantage with a larger regional outlet like that, is you're able to get that coverage because the Monitor doesn't have the staff to go cover every Celtics game.
Yeah, that's true. But they do have Eric Rinston-Lobel, since he has taken over sports at the Concord Monitor, and he's been on the show a few times, has done an amazing job with it. He really and truly has. And the Monitor really has better local sports coverage now than it has had in any number of years since Eric took over. It must be close to 2 years ago now. But at any rate, getting away from sports, I do watch regularly WMUR.
Mm-hmm.
I usually watch following the WMUR news at 6. I usually watch David Muir with the ABC News, mm-hmm. which sometimes gives me shivers and chills. And I sometimes watch it, and generally speaking, they're okay. I think of the three networks out there, ABC, CBS, NBC, that have nightly newscasts, mm-hmm. and I don't know how much longer they'll have them, but at any rate, I think ABC is more down the middle than the other two, even though they certainly do lean right to a certain lean left, I should say, to a certain extent. But I think they're at least in the ballpark anyway.
And I think when you get away from the like their big personalities they have on like their morning shows and stuff like that, ABC and CBS are known for being kind of in the middle. They lean left, but generally speaking, the reporting is fairly reliable.
Yeah. And I must admit, I do watch my share of Fox News.
Yeah.
And, you know, so. And,
well, you got to get something that doesn't bother you in the mix or bother you as much.
I can't tell you the last time that I ever had CNN on my TV or MSNBC, unless I see clips of it on Fox.
Yeah,
when
exactly.
When they show the clips on Fox, I do see MSNBC and CNN. But other than that, I don't. They're not go-to for me.
All right. So next on the survey here, political affiliation. So I've got a whole bunch of things on here. I'm going to say you're center right. Would that be fair?
Yeah, I would say that's fair.
Or would
fair.
You say
I would
more say, conservative?
I would say center. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I have some liberal views, but mostly lean to the right. So I would say center right. Yeah.
That's it's probably what most people are. Either center left or center. You're going to have a mixed bag of different political topics that you think about. Most people are ideologues or dyed in the wool, either party.
Yeah.
All right. Social media, what do you use primarily? Facebook, X, or Twitter, LinkedIn? What do you use?
I would say primarily Facebook.
Yeah.
Some X or Twitter.
A little
bit. But I don't even go on Instagram or certainly not TikTok. I don't have TikTok as an app. So no, it's mostly if I, you know, put something up on social media, and, you know, 90% of the time it's going to be on Facebook. And I do look at X, and I saw your post this morning about this program, which is great. And I sometimes promote the show on X, but not as much as Facebook. So Facebook, that would be my answer.
Now, personal question, what's your highest education you've completed?
Well, I went to broadcasting school after high school, went to broadcasting school for a year in Boston, and was fortunate enough to get a job right out of there and never looked back. That's it.
Cool. All right. So now into the topics of interest. So this is where things, you see where the alignment might be. All right. Would you consider yourself hawkish on foreign policy? Yes, no, or unsure?
I would say no.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. And that goes along, I'd say, with many of the kind of center politically aligned people. Yep. They're most likely not going to be super hawkish. So there may be specific conflicts they agree with and say, hey, we should dump all the money towards Ukraine versus instead of Israel, vice versa. Do you support continued funding for any of the following conflicts, Ukraine, Israel, or neither?
No, I do support funding for Ukraine and Israel.
Okay.
But not to the elimination of things that should be supported in this country, or more than things like border security. I mean, if we're putting more money, I think, into Ukraine than we are into our own border security.
Exactly.
Now, I don't mind, you know, Ukraine being supported. I think it's important, and the Middle and Israel, but not to the exclusion of securing our own borders, whether they be the southern borders, the northern borders, you name it, because without borders, we don't have a country.
Exactly.
And it's getting to be more and more that way. But I would support some funding to Ukraine and Israel.
What presidential candidate during this New Hampshire primary cycle did you support the most before most of them dropped out? Which one did you most closely support?
Well, I actually I liked Tim Scott.
Tim Scott?
Yeah, I did. I would have supported him if he had made it to the primary. I actually voted for Nikki Haley.
Yep. Well, things totally changed. I actually did the survey before the primary, so I got to tweak that one. So, all right. So how anxious does this presidential election make you? Not at all anxious to very anxious on a scale of 1 to 10.
Well, very anxious in the sense that I do not want the incumbent to win. Mm-hmm. That is for sure. I'm not so sure about Donald Trump either, but given the choice of the two evils, I think I would opt for Trump. I'm certainly not voting for Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Absolutely not, under any circumstances. And I would not vote for a third-party candidate either, no matter who it is, because that person is not winning.
So seven? Well, so seven? I'll put a seven. I hear the music.
And you know what that means.
I do.
We've got to take a brief sabbatical here on Kale and Company. AJ Kierstead is in the house, and we're talking about lots of things. Interesting survey, and you might be able to find it on newenglandtake.com one of these days.
New England Take on Twitter. I put it up there.
You put it up there.
It's on X.
Okay.
So go find there.
On X. That's right. Formerly known as Twitter. We will take a break. We'll continue right after these words. We're presented by Northeast Delta Dental, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. It is Kale and Company live here on WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. AJ Kierstead in the house from the New Hampshire Department of Insurance and NewEnglandTake.com or New England Take on X. He's all over the place, folks. He is all over the place, which is a good thing. And we're we're in the midst of taking a survey of where you get your news and thoughts of various issues that are going on in the news today. So continue. It's fun. I like these surveys.
Yeah, it's interesting because it basically is a success for me already because it shows it opens up people's minds to think
it's
about
true.
Where do you get your thoughts on various policies and political matters, because they don't come from nowhere. They come from somewhere, either your upbringing or where you're getting the news. And I want to see how it aligns with the news that you get. And it's with someone like you who's center right, with someone like me who's more libertarian leaning, small L, not the party, so libertarian right. conservative mix, it's seeing where it goes. But let's continue here. So overall, how worried are you about women's rights in the United States? And the most broad, generalized way of looking at it is how much of a, maybe this is a better way of thinking about it. How much of a focus of women's rights does it have on your voting that you make?
I would say on a scale from 1 to 10, maybe like a 4, perhaps. I'm obviously not a woman. But I don't see that there is a great deal of discrimination against women these days. You see them in very... high levels of the business world and in the sports world. But last night, the Boston Celtics had an all female telecast on NBC Sports Boston. You know, and they were well represented there. They're well represented in the coaching field, whether it be women's sports or in some cases even men's sports. I think in the business world, they're well represented, as they should be. But I'm really, I don't have a great deal of concern. Like I said, about a four, I don't want to see anybody discriminated against.
It's like you want to make sure rights are protected, right, but it's not necessarily the sky is falling like you're seeing from any of the progressive
I mean,
left.
I don't see that. I really don't. I mean, in any of the women that I deal with, some of them have very good jobs.
Good phrasing there, Ken. Deal with.
Right.
Sorry, Kat. Right.
But they have very good jobs. I mean, you know, we have a very young, you know, well, certainly a lot younger than I am, female general manager here at WKXL and doing an outstanding job, and Catherine Martinez. And, you know, I don't really see the discrimination. Maybe I'm dead wrong about that, but I don't see it.
And I will just say, if you do know of discrimination, there are legal authorities out there that are there to protect you. If you're not being protected, go to the ACLU, go to the Department of Labor. There are ways of getting protection. Right. Please do that. All right, let's go to the next one. This is going to come across as sarcastic as someone from the right, but how close do you think we are to World War III from a 1 to 10, from not at all to it's imminent and the sky is falling?
Well, I wouldn't say not at all, but I think we are still quite a ways from World War III. I really and truly do. I would like to think that anyway, and I do. I don't think that is going to happen anytime soon. I hope it never happens. So no, I don't think we're as close to it as some people may feel.
All right. How black and white are you when it comes to politics? So this goes from a scale of 1 to 10 of politics and policies nuanced to, if you disagree with me, you are the enemy.
No, I really don't. I wouldn't rule out. I'm a Republican, as most people know, that listen to this show on any kind of a regular basis, and people who know me personally. But I would not rule out voting for a Democrat if I enjoy like their policies or thought they had a great platform. In fact, I did vote for a Democrat, and not in the most recent primary, but the one before, in Tulsi Gabbard.
Yeah.
I did vote for Tulsi Gabbard, and subsequently she is not a Democrat anymore. I don't think my vote made the difference, but I've met her on a couple of occasions, heard what she has to say, she's still technically in the military.
Yep.
And I really like what she stands for, even though I don't agree. You can't agree with everybody's policies 100%. That's not going to happen. That's never going to happen with any candidate. But as far as Democrats, and she's a former Democrat now, as I mentioned, she would be the one that I would most align myself with.
Yeah.
And I don't know why the Democrats rejected her as much as they did.
Ideology. Yeah. I have a rule. I always say with the media, but it also goes along with politicians. If you agree with them 75%, like a majority leaning in a certain direction, and you hate 25% of their policies, that's a person you should support, either vocally or with your vote. In my opinion,
I would love to see. And there has been some talk about this, not just from me, but from the national media as well, about the possibility of Tulsi Gabbard as a running mate for Donald Trump.
Yeah, that would be, I don't think he'll do it, but if he did something like that, that would be a total game changer for the ballot, because I know there are many people, especially here in New Hampshire, that are hardcore Kennedy supporters that love Tulsi. If Tulsi decided to go for Trump, Kennedy's not going to make it in. He's the upset vote. It's going to be Biden or Trump. If Trump gets someone like that in there, that's a game changer. Biden is host, in my opinion. He's going to get the liberty-leaning crew. They're going to get the center-left people that hate Biden with a passion and want him out because he's flailing about like a crazy person. That changes the equation to such an extreme.
And boy, if that ever happened, I would love to see a vice presidential debate between Tulsi Gabbard and Kamala Harris.
That would be beauty.
Wouldn't that be something?
Memes would just be abounding, and I would do so much content around that. That'd be beautiful.
Wouldn't that be something? Because you know you're not going to see a presidential debate between Trump and Biden.
But he gets a good VP. It'll be interesting.
Yeah. But now I don't want to get away from your survey, but you mentioned Robert Kennedy Jr. Mm-hmm. being in the mix, and he's going to announce his vice presidential nominee soon. And he said it's not going to be either Aaron Rodgers or Jesse the Body Ventura. He ruled that out. I don't know where that came from, but he ruled that out. But who do you think Robert F. Kennedy Jr. could hurt the most?
It's really tough. It's really tough right now. I mean, it seems like since he decided to go independent, all the pundits and polls are showing he's going to impact Trump overall more. But this is ultimately Biden or Trump's race to lose. Like, whoever screws up the most is the one that's going to lose between the two of them. So if Biden goes and annoys too much of the center-left crew, they're going to vote for Kennedy because of the name, basically. It's just going to come down to the name. If Trump screws up so much that he disenfranchises too much on the center-right, like we were talking in the break about middle-class educated white women, which is a huge voting block in this country,
sure. Yeah.
If they decide they cannot vote for Trump at all, and they start going, I don't like Biden either. I'm going to just throw my vote at this other guy that's off to the side who said the vaccines were a problem through the coronavirus. I mean, that's going to be big. I mean, that's going to be I don't think it's as black and white as a lot of the other pundits are saying when it comes to it. It's going to be totally down to Biden or Trump screwing up and people saying, I'm going to vote for the other guy.
Yeah. Just as mainly a protest vote because he's not going to win.
Right. Yep. Exactly.
All right. AJ Kierstedt is here. The poll will continue. The survey continues after the break here on WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. You can find AJ at NewEnglandTake.com or on X. And AJ always has some very scintillating topics that will bring reaction from both sides of the aisle. And that's what he's good at. And that's why we love to have him on the show right here on WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. Back with more after these words. We are presented by Northeast Delta Dental. Welcome back. Kale and Company live here on WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. Rapidly moving show this morning with AJ Kierstedt in the house. And AJ from the New England Take, NewEnglandTake.com. I'm looking at the website right now. Very entertaining website. You'll have to check it out. Or on X as well. So AJ has been peppering me with questions this morning from his new survey, his new news survey, where people get their news and information. So continue.
Yeah, values in the media survey. I have it on my X account. Just look up New England Take. All right, next up, only a couple left here. So Elon Musk, the man of the hour for the last 6 months for some reason, because he can't keep his mouth shut, kind of like Trump. What most closely resembles your opinion of Elon Musk? And I have some entertaining ways of phrasing him.
Okay.
Evil oligarch. Idiot that is only there because he is rich. Flawed entrepreneur, our South African hero, Elon who, or inventor? When you think of Musk overall, what is like the thing you think of him as?
Well, I think of him as an inventor. I really do. I mean, he's, you know, a little bit of a whack job from time to time, but, you know, most geniuses are, and I would have to put him in that category, that he is just a genius with some of the things that he has been able to develop over the years. Now, you know, I know some people, he rubs some people the wrong way, and I get that, but you cannot, diminish what he has been able to accomplish. in his life, and the wealth that he's been able to accrue
bananas
as well. So I kind of admire the guy. I've nothing against Elon Musk. I mean, some of his views might be different than mine, but generally speaking, I think he's kind of an amazing guy.
Yeah, he's an amazing guy. It's obvious he has social issues. Like, he's not interact well with people. He just blurts it out. He's just listening to him talk. Like, he's most likely he's autistic in some way, most likely. I don't know if he's ever been diagnosed, but his social interactions are really weird, and he just blurts out very black and white things, which goes along with that sort of thing.
And, and that rubs people the wrong way.
Yeah.
It's like Trump. It really is. And doesn't know when to stop.
Well, it's Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
That was the entirety of Steve Jobs. He was a terrible person to work for. But he changed our technology industries in the United States of America. There's no way around it.
Right.
And Musk has done that ever since PayPal. People forget. He was one of the couple guys that owned PayPal and brought it to what it is. And that's why he originally, X was his original thing he was going to do back in the day, but he ended up selling PayPal instead and making an ungodly amount of money and going into space travel and satellite technology and Tesla and all these other industries he's invested in.
You think about it. He's done just incredible things. And his personality might leave quite a bit to be desired, but his accomplishments certainly do not.
So next up here, where do you feel like you've gotten most of your political values from? Family, friends, education, work, a political figure, your religion, or is this something you feel like you've really just put together yourself?
I think it's mostly family. I think it comes from my family, and not that they were staunch screaming Republicans, but I do remember when I was 6 years old. And living in Melrose, Massachusetts, they had a Republican headquarters in Melrose. And I used to go down there and get all the bumper stickers and the political pins I could possibly get. And I put these stickers on the wall, much to the chagrin of my mother, on the wall of my room. This was when Richard Nixon was running for president against John F. Kennedy. All right. And of course, growing up in Massachusetts, Kennedy was a god. And even then, even long before Watergate, Nixon was hated by many, many people, especially in, left-leaning states like Massachusetts. Of course, I didn't know what that meant, really, at the time. Certain states were more Democrat and other states were more Republican. I didn't get that at the time.
I think most states and people were that way.
Yeah.
I think the internet's destroyed it.
Yeah.
It's destroyed the culture of debate and politics in this country.
Yeah.
Cable news was the early stages. It was like baby internet, where you started to have national outlets to be able to really have 24/7 news output. But when you throw the internet in, where it's decentralized, and guess what? AJ here is part of the problem with the decentralized media with very specific opinions. But I feel like these outlets have never been straightforward with what they're trying to push.
Yeah, no, I mean, very true. Every outlet has some kind of a leaning.
Yeah, 100%.
Without question, even if it's very subtle, they do.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly that's probably the way with every podcast that's out there.
100%.
Or any radio show, for that matter. But I was a big... Because my parents were Republicans, and I'm not saying they were really staunch Republicans, but they were members of the Republican Party, and I was pulling for Nixon to win in 1960, and I remember going to school the morning after the election, and this was in 1960. And I was not very old at that time. I think I was going to first grade or kindergarten, whatever it was. But I wanted Nixon to win. And we didn't know that morning. When I went to school that morning, I did not know who won because they all the ballots hadn't been tallied. Mm-hmm. And there was a very close race in 1960. And then when I got home and found out that JFK won, I was shattered. I was shattered, even in Massachusetts. That Nixon lost, but You know, that's I definitely from my parents is how I got my leanings.
So how would you, this is the last question, how would you classify yourself in your social life? So this is a very internet-oriented response as I have in here. I was being sarcastic because that's me. Keyboard warrior, the internet's be evil, you're a golden child that's happy being online and also periodically gets out there and touches grass, or a hermit and you only socialize with people online.
No, I'd rather socialize with people in person than online. I think I'm on the internet more because I do what I do. If I didn't have this job or honestly wasn't interested in sports,
yeah,
I probably wouldn't be on the internet much at all, whether it be social media or websites that I go to or what have you. I mean, if it wasn't for the fact that I'm doing this show and have to stay a little bit in touch, or, you know, just for my own recreation, you know, follow certain sports teams, mm-hmm. and you want to get information on them from the internet as well. But no, I would rather socialize personally with people than on the internet.
Yeah, and it's... in love with the internet and floating around on Twitter as I am, that's where it should be, and you got to find that balance. Like for me, that balance is my family, and I don't post online for my family stuff really anymore because I just like I want to just focus on that and turn it off. My wife hates politics and she doesn't pay attention to any of it, so I get it out on there and with the channel at the NewEnglandTech.com and such, and try and have a healthy debate on there, but you gotta shut off. I go camping, there's no internet, things like that.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't care about it at all, really, if I didn't have this job and have to stay on top of it to a certain extent. anyway, but it is, you know, I will say it is a very useful tool if it's used properly.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a great way of reaching people.
It is. It's a great way. There's no doubt about that.
Like I have strange opinions that I've had a few op-eds in the Union Leader and the Concord Monitor that's been interesting to see the response I get from it, because I don't have a traditional MAGA or conservative Republican opinion on things. I'm definitely not of the left. I'm not progressive on pretty much any topic. But people should feel free to speak out and have their opinions and not be afraid of pushback. We should have healthy debates in this country. And that's what I'm hoping to kind of do with this crazy little outlet I started this past year, is kind of get different opinions out there.
Now, I've got to ask you a question. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen, I think, next Tuesday, a week from today, that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is going to name his running mate. So do you have any thoughts on that? I mean, it was floated that it might be Aaron Rodgers and Jesse the Body Ventura.
He better not have either of those two people, for starters.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up getting Tulsi or someone like that. Someone of that nature and anti-establishment left person is going to be. Because people think he's a conservative or a libertarian. He is not. He's a far left guy that just is anti-establishment. I guarantee he's going to get someone like that.
I would hate to see Tulsi wasted on him.
Exactly.
Really?
Me too. I love Tulsi. Tulsi's great. I've supported her for a long time. She was the most interesting person the last election, presidential election cycle, to me. But I don't know. I don't think she, unfortunately, this is not her cycle. I'd love it if Trump got her in, but I just don't see that happening. If she is a VP candidate, it's probably going to be Kennedy, in my opinion.
Okay.
Sorry.
I know, I'd be heartbroken. But what about Trump? Who's he gonna have?
He's gonna have someone boring. He's gonna do the Pence thing again. He would have already gotten someone interesting in there if it was gonna be someone interesting. It's gonna be someone boring.
Somebody boring.
Yeah,
somebody boring like a Ron DeSantis or
someone who's been quiet. If I had to guess, it's gonna be someone who's quiet. He doesn't want people who've spoken out. He's full 10 out of 10 Trump right now, and he's gonna do that straight to election day. The focus will be on him, not the VP.
All right. You've heard it from AJ Kierstead, and you can hear more, or at least read more, on NewEnglandTake.com, very entertaining website, or on X as well, at NewEnglandTake. So, AJ, thanks. Always great to have you in studio.
Thanks for having me on.
And thank you for listening and being informed this morning by AJ Kierstead here on WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. Remember, always look on the bright side of life, and we are presented by Northeast Delta Dental. Have a great day, everybody.